Hey guys, this is Rose, and if you're listening to this, you found the Rose Quinn Podcast.
This is the Rose Quinn Podcast.
Treasure rejection.
The community is so great.
It's going to be like my breakout story.
That I realized I really didn't like where my life was.
Yeah.
And I was going to pursue my dreams.
The Rose Quinn Podcast.
This is the Rose
April,
Quinn
thank
Podcast.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, and could you tell us a little bit about your series and the first book of the Eon Chronicles? So are you currently just working on the first one?
I am currently working on the first one, but I was drafting the second one, and then I put everything in with the line editor for book one, and I was like, okay, I'll get this back, I'll edit it, and I'll get ready to publish. Nope. So right now I'm sending it through a last group of betas just to make sure that there's no inconsistencies, and I'm also waiting to hear back from a content editor. And so once I get all that back, then I'll go back over it one more time and then send it back to my line editor. But in the meantime, I'll probably work on book two's drafting. But I'm kind of in between books right now because I'm trying to finish up this first manuscript to get ready to publish.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of pieces in play for that one and are waiting for them to come back. I'm a very impatient person, so I feel like I'd be like, you know, watching the time be like, come on, people, when are you going to get this back to me?
Well, I've already done this before, so it's kind of like, okay, well, when they're done, usually like 2 weeks.
True.
So it'll be fine. I have something else I can work on until then.
Oh, that's good. Well, can you give us a little blurb, like what is the story about?
So this first book, I kind of wanted to do it almost like a prequel, but because it's kind of needed for the second book, but the second book could stand alone if someone was just to jump right into book two, because there is going to be a lot of flashbacks. But basically, there is the end of the first Aeon, which is like the first time period of when Lucifer rebelled against his creator. And so I have my three basically main characters. I have one main character, Sophie, who is a truth keeper, basically a counselor. She is trying to teach people to come back to the truth of the creator. And so in the midst of all this, she has to, she comes to the realization that, okay, she's going to die. So everybody is going to die. My kids call this the Book of Doom when I talk about it. They're like, you're writing the Book of Doom.
That is funny.
But so basically Sophie is put in this position of she wants to save Cirrus, which is someone that she had been courting her for a very long time, and she's in love with him, of course. But her guardian that comes to protect her from the fallen angels and Lucifer from getting captured is basically saying, you know, you need to stay away from all these people. And along the way, she gets caught, and so then she has to really make a choice of, is she going to die and go into this next life as a human, or is she going to stay with Cirrus, although they really don't have a choice. They will die, because I get to say who lives and who dies, but yeah, that's basically what's going on. There's a love triangle going on a little bit there.
Ooh, April, love triangles are my fave. Any book that
they're
has
my
one,
fave too.
I'm like, oh, I want to be right there and be a part of this love triangle because they're so good. I have one.
They are, if they're done right.
Yes, I have one in my novel, This Dead World. And
My gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I love triangles. They're fun. If they're done right, if it's not like, you know, silly love triangle stuff, then, you know, it can be really, like, the tension is crazy.
I might make some people mad by saying this, but the first thing that popped into my head when you said if they're, like, not, if they're done right, was thinking about the love triangle in Twilight and how that is not a very good love triangle. But anyway.
No, I have to agree with you, even though I was a Twihard, like, seriously Twihard.
I was too. Yeah, I was, and then I grew out of it. And as I've read more, and, like, I remember, though, when those books first came out, my mom bought me the book, and she was like, you're going to love it. And I couldn't get through the first chapter. And it was only, like, after it had gotten to, like, huge, like, hugely popular that I was like, okay, I guess I'll go back and read it. But I, like, had to force myself through that first chapter because it doesn't open very well.
Yeah, and that's what I've noticed, too, when you're writing. Like, I have writing coaches, so they're like, okay, that first chapter, those first few sentences are, like, you're hooking your readers in. Like, yeah. Why do they want to read this book? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. And then reading other books, I'm like, wow, okay, yeah, I really wanted to put that book down because this first chapter is just like, what?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I'm reading Six of Crows right now, and it's an amazing book. I don't know if you've read it, but the first chapter is very, I think, confusing, and I've had some other friends say that too. But I knew going into it, like, I'd have to push through the first chapter because it does end up being important, but it's kind of just, like, weird and it's kind of confusing. But I feel like it has important information, but it could have been done in a different way to make it a little easier to get into the story.
Right. That happens when you're a writer, too. Like, yes. I almost wish I wasn't a writer because it's kind of taken the fun out of, being blind of reading books.
Yeah, it has. Like, I was reading this book that I was so excited about. It was a retelling, sort of Jane Eyre, but as, like, a serial killer. And I was like,
oh, wow.
And that's, like, two of my favorite things. So I was like, this book will be awesome. But it was just kind of, like, she had no redeeming qualities, the main character. Like, she just killed people. And so it wasn't, like, it just wasn't great. And I think I come at it as a writer thinking about, you know, how it could be made better, and that's what made it really hard for me to read it, to be like, oh no, like, she's missing these important pieces of the story and the main character's development. And I was like, oh boy, I need to stop analyzing the book and just read it.
No, see, that happens to me too, but I have to, like, really connect with the characters. Like, if I can't get into the characters, like, I'm like, this book means nothing.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way, because I spend a lot of my time reading, and why I think it's important to read, you know, good books and bad books to just understand, but I really do love to spend my time reading really good books and not books I just, like, am forcing myself to get through. But, okay, back to your book. So you're self-publishing, is that correct?
Yes, I am just going to go for it. I'm going to self-publish. I was really nervous. Like, I really thought about, you know, getting everything done and then doing up, like, learning how to query. And then I was really struggling through this debut novel because, you know, I'm a new writer and I know a lot more now. But over the year, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I found some writing coaches through Facebook and, you know, joined their subscription. And it's been the best decision I ever made because they have been coaching me through it, and they pretty much are here to help you self-publish. So along the way, I've been learning how to do, you know, like, the cover, what you need on the cover, what's, you know, the right things to do, what for your genre, the categories on Amazon. It's a lot. I will say it's a lot, and it's very overwhelming. But I think with that confidence of having, you know, my Academy tribe from this group in the subscription, and having my coaches, and being able to ask them questions, like, anytime I have a question, I can just pop into the private Facebook group and be like, hey, I have a question. And it's really helpful. So I have that confidence now that I will do well, at least, you know, okay. You know, somebody will buy this book just because I'm going to do it the right way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nerve-wracking to self-publish.
Definitely. You know, I have talked to some great authors who have self-published, and one of my friends, Erin McDermott, is one of those, and she, when I was talking to her about it, was telling me how she had someone else who kind of, you know, sounds like did the same thing that is being done for you, kind of helped guide her along and gave her some good tips to point her in the right direction, because there's so much you have to do. And in talking to my friends who self-publish, I'm like, I plan to query my novel that I am finishing up the edits for, but you know, someday a lot down the road, maybe I'll self-publish and decide to, but it's like there's so much research and time and effort that has to go into it because it's basically like your own little business. So I applaud
you.
I applaud you for doing that. That is amazing. Do you think at some point, or, you know, later on down the road, or just with maybe a different novel, that you would try to do traditionally published, or like is self-published where it's at for you?
No, I definitely think that I would love to be traditionally published. Like, I really, like, of course, I know you can, with self-publishing, still have your book on a shelf, you know, or Barnes & Noble, or there's a way to do it, but I think I would really like someone else to do all the work and change my book.
Yes.
You know, as long as, I mean, that was the other thing. I was like, I don't want anybody touching this, you know. And when I had my editor come in there and she was asking all these questions, I was like, oh my gosh, please don't take that out. Please don't take that out. You know, well, it's like,
yeah,
I have certain things in there.
For sure. And I can relate to that. You know, it's like, you, I think all writers can relate to it, but you put so much, I think, of yourself in the book without maybe even realizing it, or you do it on purpose. And so when someone's like, oh, actually, this part doesn't work, or this part's not important, you're like, wait, no, that was like my favorite part. Like, you have to keep exactly. that one sentence in there. I think that's awesome. You know, I applaud people who self-publish because it is, you know, it's a lot of work, and you, I'm sure, will be super successful. When do you think that the Eon Chronicles, the first book, will come out?
I'm hoping after I, like, it'll probably be, you know, a few more weeks before I get everything back from the betas and my content editor, but I'm thinking probably March. I'm hoping, like, Ooh. Maybe late March. Yeah, I'm, like, super excited. I'm like, yes, that's my goal. I was going to do it, like, for my birthday in February, and then I was like, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, that might,
I still,
don't rush yourself.
I want to do an imprint.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it to say create space on Amazon. I want it to say, you know, I've already made up my own name for my imprint, and so, but that's a lot of work too, getting your DBA and your IIN and really setting all that up. Like you said, it is a business. Mm-hmm. So, but I've learned a lot from all of AuthorTube. Like, Kristen Martin's been great, and
I'm so glad that you have, you know, and you found those tools and those people to help you, because I think, you know, and I, before I started this podcast and really talked, my first few authors that I talked to were self-published, and just like opened my mind up, because I have seen self-published done not the right way. So I think that I just had that stigma about it, but to know, you know, that there is a correct way to do it. And there's even some genres that you're better off self-publishing, like romance and things like that. I'm like, okay, this is like a new part of the industry that is like, there's a right way to do it. So I'm, you know, glad for you that you found people, especially if this is, you know, your first experience with it, to help you and put you on the right direction, doing it the right way, which will help your chances in the, you know, in the long run if you do try and get traditionally published.
Yeah, it will. I think having the support and then learning from other people who've done it is just really opened my eyes too, because, you know, I had the same stigma. I'm like, every time I see a self-published book, and it's like, I'm such a cover snob. I'm like, what is this book about? Like, this doesn't even go with your, like, your blurb on the back. Like, what is this?
What's so funny is that I feel like readers are so much about the cover, and there's that saying, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, but I sometimes literally only judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. I told you, yeah, I'm such a book cover snob, and I don't mean to be, but if it doesn't, like, relate, like, if I don't see it, be like, ooh, yeah, that looks like my genre, or ooh, that looks like I could totally get into that book, you know. I hate to be that way, but I have read books where I'm like, this cover is not interesting.
Yeah.
And then I like read it and I'm like, it's one of the best books I've ever read. But yeah.
Well, so you said that you're, you know, a new writer. And so is the Eon Chronicles the first, you know, whole novel you've written?
Yes. It is. I originally did a first draft probably about 5 years ago, and I had it from first person point of view. And I mean, because that, you know, a lot of people do that because it's easy to read and it's easy to write.
I think it works. It works better in different stories. It's so subjective of which one you should use.
Yes, that's where a lot of people usually go, especially for YA. And I knew I kind of wanted to be in the YA area just because, you know, everybody pretty much reads YA for one. And two, it's not got anything too crazy of, like, I always fade to black with all my themes. I don't get into any too spicy, but there is romance in my novel. But when I first did that book, I was like, wow, okay, this isn't working. And so I took a break from it. And then when I picked it back up, probably about a year, it was like a year ago, I was like, okay, so I did it from third person, and just I wanted all the characters to really have a voice, kind of like the three main characters to really see all their point of view, all their thoughts, which a lot of people don't do that. But I really wanted all these characters to kind of have, like, you know, a spotlight. So yeah. I just went for that. I don't know if it'll work. It seems like it's working so far, but we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome. So before that, you know, before you wrote that first draft 5 years ago, I mean, had you been writing before? How did it start? Like, have you always loved to write, or how did you get that idea for your novel?
So I have always really loved to write. When I was like 7 or 10, I got my first Lisa Frank diary with a little locket on it.
Yes.
With the cute little kittens and the pretty colors. And so, like, I just journaled probably till high school, I believe. And so journaling has always been, like, my creative, like, outlet of just getting everything down on paper or down on something to where I can just get it out of my head. And so it's really been, like, therapy for me, because I always have all these ideas in my head, or I always have, you know, a whole lot going on.
Oh, that's the same for me. It's like my own personal therapy.
Yeah, it is. And so I journaled, and then I wrote some poetry in middle school. I even wrote a song for a boyfriend.
Yes.
Which it was really lame, but I wrote some lyrics. And,
I'm sure it was amazing.
So, yeah, really, after that, I kind of quit writing and journaling, and because I had kids and everything, you know, life kind of stops when you have a family. But then I picked it back up, and I was like, I'm going to write just because I really want to write. And so I wrote that first draft, and then from there, just that's what happened. And I just, like, I'm going to write a book for real.
I love it. That's so, you know, inspiring. I am younger than you. But I've been writing like that too, and I, you know, I had this novel that I'd been working on for like years. I wrote it, like, started it, you know, in high school, and it's I call it my train wreck. And it's going to sit under my bed for the rest of my life, and no one's ever going to read it, which is totally fine. It was a great learning experience. But then I didn't really, like, have any other ideas, and went to this writing conference and got this, like, you know, they made us do this writing prompt, and I got this crazy idea for my novel, This Dead World, and that's when the inspiration was kind of just like, oh, okay. And then, you know, I wrote the novel in 30 days, and I was like, I guess I'm doing this. I guess I'm writing a novel, and I guess we're sticking with it. And then I did Nano this year. Have you ever done Nano?
Oh, I did. I did Nano this year, okay. And oh my gosh, I'm never going to do it the same way.
How did you do it this year that you'll do differently?
So this year I drafted the rest of, like, a half of book two. Mm-hmm. And so next year, though, I'm just going to mind dump, like, completely mind dump, because I organically create my story. Like, if I come to, like, a roadblock, or I'm like, I don't know what this character is going to do in this scene, or I don't know if I need this character, or more character develop. I really, really like to develop my characters. Like, I want all my characters to really just stand out, even if they're side characters. But so I think I'm just going to completely mind dump, like, everything in this next Nano. That way I won't be stressed out. I'll just be like, okay, this is what I'm thinking right now about the book, and just write it.
I definitely feel like I'm the same way. I'm not an outliner. I'm definitely a pantser. Found that just works for me, but I do that. And even when I'm, like, stuck in a scene, like you were talking about, I kind of just keep going. I'm like, I'm just going to wrap it up however I can. And then during edits, I'll come back and, like, make it better, because I just need to get through it. But sometimes it can be hard to, like, you know, push through it or not edit as you go and try and think about
that's
that.
My worst.
You get stuck in that endless cycle of just editing and editing over as you write, and you never get anywhere.
Yeah, you never get anywhere, and that's something that my writing coach just told me. They're like, okay, when you're drafting, just draft. Don't read back that last chapter and edit that last chapter, and that's what I always do when I get back into my story, because I have to take breaks sometimes. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to change this right now. And I'm not, you know, my writing coach is like, please don't do that, because you'll never get anywhere.
Right.
So it's exactly right. But I do outline.
Oh, you do? So
I do. So I outline, but then during the writing process, it slows down.
So do you do, like, a full outline before of, like, you know, every chapter and every scene? Or, like, how detailed is your outline?
It's pretty detailed. It is pretty much every chapter. Like, I will write, I will get a basic idea of, like, every single scene. I'll write down what I want to happen in these scenes, and then I'll separate all the scenes and move them around in my iBook. I have, like, my iBook's author, so I'll move everything around. But now I have Scrivener, so I'll do it in Scrivener now, probably. But yeah. So I'll move all the chapters and scenes around and put things where I need it, and then I'll go from there and be like, okay, this is my beginning, middle, and end. And, I mean, some parts might be missing, like some scenes, and I fill them in along the way, but I do usually have, like, okay, this is my beginning, middle, and end, point A to point B, you know, and so that's pretty much basically what I do. But I usually have all my scenes before I start, like, an original idea, and it'll change, like, yeah, a million times before I'm done with that first draft, but... Yeah, I definitely have to have something to go by, though, because then I'll lose sight of who my characters are, where they are, and there'll be inconsistencies, which is what happened with the first book, my first manuscript. There were a lot of inconsistencies because I changed my mind, like, way too much, so...
I love to know how other people do it. I think all of us work a different way, and something different works for us, and, you know, that blanket advice isn't good for writers, because our brains work differently. But okay. I used to do that. I used to, you know, like, I would spend, you know, like a month on an outline before I even wrote down a word. And it felt just like too, I think I got discouraged when I would, like, start writing and then I would veer off in a completely different direction than my outline and be like, how did I get here? So that's why I don't outline anymore, but I kind of do like a faux outline during the editing process and, but just do like major... I like to do the four-part act, and so I kind of just outline that way to just make sure my, you know, plot is going in the right direction and then can go back and fill holes. But I, you know some people who spend – one of my lovely Twitter friends, Abigail Carlson.
I love her.
Yeah, she spent a year on her outline.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Abigail. But, yeah, she spent a year on her outline. I'm like, that's a lot of time to spend on your outline.
It is. Yeah. I mean, well, when you're trying to figure out, and, you know, it's kind of what I do. I kind of do what you do. I kind of write the basic outline. Like I said, it's always changing. If, you know, I'm like, well, no, I don't want my characters here. I want them there for a reason. You know, I'll jump around. But I try to write that down and keep notes. So when I do my new draft outline, I'll have it there. So I won't be like, where were they again? Like, what was in the draft?
I think it is different for different categories too. Like, she's writing a, like, high fantasy, like, she's creating like a whole world. So I could see needing to outline and keep track of things like during that. But like mine's a, you know, set in a dystopian time, but really is just like a, you know, not a very... it's not like a fantasy story in any means.
Right.
So maybe that's how I get away with not outlining.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause when you're building a world, I kind of built my own world, and that was like something the editor was saying. It's like, I thought they were, you know, what's the rule here? I thought angels did this. And then she's like, angels don't have free will. I'm like, no, they do. They do. In this book, it's my rule.
Yeah. It's your world. I saw someone on Twitter who was like, it was that Right Fight Gift Club hashtag, and he was talking about
I'm in that. I love it.
My phone blows up with the notifications with that, and it makes me so happy. But he was like, I'm doing research to see if, like, this, you know, science thing can happen in space, and I was at work, but I wanted to tweet this to him, but, you know, I think that's, like, your world, that could, if it doesn't work in this world, in reality, it can work in your world, because your book is whatever you want it to be, and there are no rules, which is kind of nice about, like, the fantasy genre and any type of story where you can just kind of make it how you want it to be.
Yeah, well, and my second book is more of an urban fantasy. I mean, this first book is, I guess it would be like I don't know if it's a supernatural. I'm still trying to figure out what category it belongs in, because it's like, you know, got angels, it's like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's like a supernatural or paranormal fantasy.
Yeah, it's more of like, there's a lot of drama going on. Like, so I guess it would be considered a supernatural thriller in a way.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a fantasy. It's fantasy, but yet, you know, so I'm still trying to figure out exactly where it belongs.
Yeah.
To put on Amazon. But the next book is going to be more of a paranormal romance urban fantasy. And then I will have, like, a dystopian type going on. Like, it kind of keeps going. I'll probably have, like, 3 or 4 books in the series. And so it just gradually keeps going. So it'll be, like, future events in the last few books. So.
Love it. I love
dystopian, I'm excited about your book.
Thank you. I'm very excited about my book. You know, I hate zombies with all my heart, but I also, I feel like if there's going to be an end of the world event, it's going to be a zombie apocalypse, and maybe that's just because they freak me out. But of course, like, my novel is set in a zombie, you know, it's 10 years after the zombie apocalypse has happened, and it's not, I try and tell people, because when I tell them it's about, you know, it's set in a dystopian world, and first most people are like, wait, what does dystopian mean? Which I'm like, come on, people. But then I tell them,
I don't know.
No, I've had so many people be like, wait, what's dystopian?
Really? Oh, they must not be avid readers, because I definitely knew what dystopian was, like, even when I had only read like a few dystopian.
A lot of my people in real life, a lot of my friends are not avid readers. I'm like the only one. Aww. So maybe that's why they don't know. But I'm like, it's not like a zombie story. It's a human story. It's just set in a zombie apocalyptic world. It's fine. But I'm really excited about it. I'm just finishing up some revisions, and then we'll, you know, get some beta readers and start querying. I was querying earlier, or at the end of last year. I keep forgetting it's January.
Yeah, me too.
And then had this, you know, idea for some minor tweaks to just strengthen it up. And so, and then I had another idea, and so that'll be just a touch more work, but it'll make it better. So I just,
yeah,
you know.
That's what I do too. I will get stuff back from betas, or I will, like, all of a sudden have, like, an epiphany. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to put this in the book. So. Yep.
And you know what? You just have to do it, because it's going to, like, I've had a lot of people tell me, like, but it'll make your book better. I'm like, I know, but it's like, it's just, it's kind of, it's a chain, like, kind of a, not a major change, but it kind
of. You have to go back and make sure it's consistent with everything else. So yeah, that's what happened to me in the first book. I had to change everything.
Yeah. So I, you know, it's one thing, but it's like, I, you know, it's littered throughout the 350 pages. So.
Right.
I guess I have to go back, but it'll be fine. It's fine. I took a day off from it yesterday because I was kind of upset about the revision idea that came to my head. And I was like, I just need, like, a little break from it. And so I've been reading Six of Crows to just kind of, like, reset my brain, which has actually been really helpful. I feel like I'm going to go back to it today. And that's my plan today, is just kind of, like, knock out some revisions. So it'll be all right.
Yeah, reading does that for you. I mean, like, when people say, yeah, I write but I don't read, I'm like, how do you do that? Because reading really does help you, you know,
in
not
so
only
many
just,
ways.
Like, yeah, it clears your mind, but it also is like you're learning pretty much how it's done. I mean, everybody has their different style, but, you know, you'll see a sentence, you'll be like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, that's where that punctuation goes, or that's how, you know, someone moves or does gestures, which is my biggest thing, is I'm always trying to figure out how do you write a gesture, like, so, like, or, I don't know how to write this.
Or, I mean, you just, I think it's so important, like you said, how everybody reads YA, which everybody does, even when we're old and gray, because YA is so amazing. But it's, like, so important also to read books, a lot of books in your genre about, you know, kind of the same topic you're reading, just to see what's popular. Like, my novel I wrote for Nano this year, is crime fiction, and I love crime fiction. Like I said, I love serial killers. And so I have read a lot of crime fiction and really learned, like, and it's so obvious to see the formula of the story and all of that that works and is popular, but also then you read the books. I've read some books in that genre that are just, like, outstanding, breaks the mold, and works so well. So it's like, it's so, and I learned so much doing that this year, and it really helped me when writing mine. So I think there's so many different things you can get from reading, and, you know, more than just, like, a good story and a great, like, world, but you definitely learn how to be a better writer.
Absolutely.
Speaking of books, what is your favorite book that you're reading right now or you've read in the last few months?
Oh my gosh. So, like, I always have favorites. Like, I'm one of those people that's like,
I, You can give me more than one. I'll take it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So currently, because K.A. Dowling on Twitter,
yes.
She's, oh my God, she's amazing.
I love her.
And I heard her podcast with you.
She's so great. I love her.
Oh my gosh. So, like, she signed her The Changing Tide for me and left a sweet little note and really encouraged me. And oh my gosh, she's just a beautiful human being.
Isn't she? And so I'm waiting for my copy to come and I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I have been reading that. I think I'm on chapter 6. Like, I'm so glad I can take a break from, you know, writing for a little while and read, because I was able to, like, read her, Peter Pan retelling, and I was like, I feel so good, and oh my gosh, it was flawless. I was just like, I can't write this beautiful, and so, like, I was like, oh my gosh. But so that, it's not out yet, but that is my favorite right now.
Perfect. Well, I get to beta read that one too, so now you've got me all excited.
You are going to love it, Kate. Oh my gosh, like, I have a new book boyfriend, so,
yes,
yeah.
I want a new book boyfriend. Give me one.
Kelly said that she's feeling Avon Cray, that's her book boyfriend. She told everybody on Twitter to back off when they mention him.
<She's>...
I was like, yeah, okay.
But
we both love Damon.
Yeah.
Off Vampire Diaries, so he's kind of a lot snarky like that.
I love it. Oh, she's the most amazing.
She is. So, but I did read the A Court. A Thorn and Roses series. So I'm waiting to read A Court of Wings and Ruin, because I need more rise in my life, but I'm waiting, you know, I'm waiting until, like, I treat myself to that book, because it's my favorite series right now. When I get this book done, like, actually done, I'm going to treat myself to finishing that, even though there's another book coming out, but I would have to say that is one of my favorite books.
I don't know that I've heard of that one. What's that one about?
The A Court of Thorn and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas. You have not read it?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Like I said, I've been reading, like, just crime fiction for, like, the last year.
Right. Genre? Okay. It supposedly it's a retelling, but when I got into it, I didn't know it was a retelling, but it's about fairies or fae.
Okay.
That's the first time that I had read anything that was about fae, and I was like, oh, okay, this is so strange. But there's just one, like, problem I have with it, and that is the not fading to black scenes. I think they're a little cheesy, but it's like too much 50 Shades of Grey for me. But other than that, it's just amazing. Like, the world is neat, and it's a strong female character, which I do like, and Rise is, like, going to be your new book boyfriend. He is just, I love it.
Oh, good. Well, I will add that to my to-be-read pile, because I hadn't heard of that one yet. Well, lovely. Well, April, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, and let me know when the Eon Chronicles, I'm sure I'll see it on Twitter, but let me know when you're publishing it so we can... I'll promote it for you, put out my Instagram and stuff, and we can all read your awesome book.
Oh, absolutely. I will definitely, like I said, I wanted to get this out in March, and hopefully I will do print and Kindle at the same time, so
yes.
I'm working on that, but I will send you a copy.
Ooh.
I will sign and send you a copy, just
Yay.
Because you're so awesome for having me on your podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to read it. Thank you so much, April.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Rose.